Hey, this is Russell, and I work at the video store, the place that we can all go to once a week whenever it is movie night. I love this job because when the store is quiet, I get to watch movies and series and talk about them with my friends that work here, and then interesting people also pop in to rent something. We're here to help you figure out what to watch. All right, let's do it. Let's open up the shop. Good morning, Gad.
Hey, Rusky.
How are you, man?
Yeah, it was quite a weekend.
Yeah, was it?
Yeah.
Good. We'll get into it in a moment. Hello, everyone. Today on the show, Cindy Swanepoel is going to pop in to rent something at our lovely video store here. She is very well known, probably most famous for Binnenlanders, but she is now in the really great, super fun, very well made Showmax original Cook, which is
Cook.
You'll see has got to do with Cook Sisters in a very interesting way. I'll get into it that way. But very smart show. This is Christian Olwagen, who has done a bunch of incredible stuff in South Africa. And it's a really well made show. And I'm just so happy for her that she can really sink her teeth into such a cool role.
Sink her teeth into some Cook Sisters.
yeah. I think once you see the show, you'll understand how that might have now been a very precarious statement. But no, it's a lovely show. For those who are just joining, welcome. We've got ourselves a great day here at the video store. I am joined by the dashing Gad. Gad, what did we call you the other day? The Great Gadsby.
Great Gadsby.
Oh. Shout out to Christina and the lovely name she gave you. We are going to have Cindy pop in, but after our chat with Cindy, myself and Gad are going to have a fat chat about what we're watching on streaming platforms and in cinemas. Have you got some stuff to chat about, Gad?
Most definitely.
Okay, some weird, some interesting, some cool stuff.
Some cool things, a lot of nostalgia.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, we'll get into it. Have you got something to keep you busy while I chat to Cindy?
Yeah, I can play some Scrabble on my phone.
Play some Scrabble on your phone.
That's all I do these days.
All right. Let's get into it. This is Cindy Swanepoel popping in to rent something. How's it?
Hey.
How are you?
I'm lekker. How are you?
I'm great, man.
Mooi.
It's been a long time.
I couldn't believe when I saw you. I didn't know I'm going to talk to you. Yeah, it's been a long time. Like I was in Maboneng. That's where we met.
Yeah. So when the Showmax folk were like, you know, Cook's the new show. And, you know, do you want to chat to Cindy? I was like, hold on.
Who's that?
I remember her.
Yeah. And now we're actually going to have a proper talk because we never did. We were always like, how's it? Hey, what are you doing? I don't know. Cool. Bye.
Yeah. Well, you did a lot of stuff next door at Pop Art.
Yes.
And so, you know, which for those who don't know, for the first 10 years pretty much of the Bioscope, we had our friends run a theater space next door to us called Pop Art. Shout out to Hayley, who has obviously done a lot of stuff at the Bioscope. She's even been on the video store, which is lovely. But we had these like two indie cultural spaces next door to each other, which was so great.
It was
beautiful. There was such a nice live performance energy. And of course, there was the, you know, the Bioscope, which was the film energy.
And we were the first. I started, I had a company, Poco Productions, which we did shadow puppetry. And we did our first show at Pop Art. And I think it was Pop Art's first show that they... you know, I had my fucking
you can speak
English
Afrikaans
is great.
In between.
Yeah, okay, I will. So, this is the first show that Pop Art had it, and we were the first. Yeah.
Did they produce it? It was sort of what they sort of got behind or?
Yes.
Yeah. They didn't just let you use, they sort of helped you create
helped
it.
Helped us with it, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, that's what I remember you doing. I just to, you know, rejig my memory, I was like, ahead of you coming, I was like, just to confirm, this was the shit. They did shadow puppets,
yes,
right? And so that was cool. You basically had a light. and you had literally shadows.
Yeah, so it was a light and a screen, and we made everything. It was the hardest work I've ever done. Now I know, you know, but that's the whole thing of putting in hours, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You put in hours into something, and then you learn to do the shortcut of something. But that's the only way you like get your stripes. You earn your stripes by doing it. So we did. I don't know. We worked for more than a month. We worked on this little show called Yanagi, and it was it was just beautiful.
There was like a sort of Japanese-ness to it. Hey,
yeah, exactly. Yanagi. It was based on the. A blue willow pattern. You always get it on cups. The little stories told on the Chinese cups.
Yeah.
It was just beautiful, magic.
So it was almost like sort of overhead projector sort of transparencies, right?
Yes.
And with then cutouts, and then you sort of put them in front of the light, and you did this whole play.
We did a whole play like for an hour long, just.
Do those sets still exist somewhere? Have you kept them safe?
I've got Yanagi in the garage still. Okay. That's the precious one. But all the shit we've made, I mean, it's endless. We can tell so many stories.
It's the 10,000 hours. Are you familiar with that term?
No, but I think
it was a New York Times journalist, Malcolm Gladwell. He's written a bunch of books, but there was one called Outliers, which was about how, you know, the people at the top of their craft have spent roughly 10,000 hours more than their counterparts, because they, you know, Tiger Woods has hit more golf balls.
Yes, sure.
Michael Schumacher was racing go-karts at 3 or 4, you know. So they've like, they you know, the Beatles very famously played in Hamburg in these strip clubs before they were well-known, before the Cavern era and what people know to be the start of the Beatles. Before that, they were slumming it in Germany, playing in strip clubs for 6 hours at a go. So they honed their craft.
Yeah.
And and they put in those hours.
Yeah. I wholeheartedly believe in that. I mean, you do get jack of all trades, master of none, but
but you know the other part of there's the second part of that phrase that most people don't know.
What's that?
So that expression, jack of all trades, master of none, sounds depressing, which is like you're not actually good at anything.
Exactly.
But there's a second part to that phrase, and I'm gonna misquote it, but it's something like, I'd rather be a jack of all trades than none, or something like that. There's a second half to that phrase. So don't
so you kind of go, okay, that's fine.
Don't think it's bad that you're the jack of all trades, because it's better than being nothing.
Yes. Well, that's what I also always thought. No, wait. But you need to put in the hours in all of those. So it depends on also how good are you at all these things, or how much time did you spend on them? You know, like the shadow puppetry, hours and hours and hours and hours. So I always thought, you know, anyone else can try this, but they've not done what I've done, and will they be willing to, you know?
Yeah.
And it's the same with acting for me. It's all I've ever wanted to do.
Because what's interesting is that with the shadow puppetry, that's more storytelling, writing.
Yes.
Because it's not your face acting.
Yes.
You then went on to, now, you know, one of the reasons why you're here today is because of the TV show Cook.
Yes.
That's why we're chatting. But so you've been an actress.
That's all I've ever wanted to do, but I had to become a master of a few other things around the acting. I think that is what builds character, and that is what I always think of it as I was a voortrekker when I was a kid, like a scout. But you get your kentekens, so you get like your little stripes of knotting, knots, or lantern bekryp, or identifying poo in the field, or like you get
horse riding. It's your badges.
Making soap, all that shit. So you get your badges, and you have to earn them. You can't just get them.
Yeah.
And for me, I feel like I've got so many badges from like puppetry and breathe. It teaches you how to breathe, you know, and putting life into something with just breath.
Yeah.
Or radio, or like there's so many things I've done, and especially children's theatre, which I've had like 8 years behind me of grafting, blood, sweating, focal pay, you know, and really just going and making the children laugh, and characterizing and the difference between the monkey and the elephant. You know, the kids weren't allowed to see that I'm the same actor. Like, I was hectic about that.
Okay. So,
I am proud now of the journey. Then I was like, oh, please let it be done. But that's all I wanted to do, you know.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
I took a brief holiday job because I was more of the film student. But we did a little bit of, we had to do a little bit of acting at the start of things at WITS. And so I got a sense of the acting.
Yeah.
Like when you talk about breath and understanding and knowing how to use your diaphragm and breathing. But I thought it was fucking hilarious that, you know, for an hour I was lying on the floor going, ha, ha, while in the building next door there was some engineering student like pulling their hair out. And I'm going, ha, ha.
I'm studying hard right now.
But it makes sense and I get it and it is important.
Yeah,
but
I've had exactly the same when I was studying. I was in a res called Goldfields in Stellenbosch, and we had men also who stayed there because usually reses were just women and men. And the guys always mocked me and were like, "What the fuck do you do when you study drama? Are you just like running around like an idiot and doing breath work?" And I remember the one day I was studying something theatre studies and. The one guy was passing my room and I was just moving my hands around like, and I called him, I said, hey, listen, does this look like water? And I'm very serious, showed him. I'm like, I'm trying to study how, what it looks like, you know, like kind of like, fuck you, okay? We also do other things.
But yeah, no, you got to put that all that time in. And so I did this, I did this one stint as a part of a troupe that did these kids plays over like a Christmas break. And I was like, I can't do this.
Yes, it's hard work.
I was like, I was like, everything's fine. Literally up until I was like in the Pinocchio outfit, about to go on stage in like some wing of like some shopping mall somewhere in South Africa. Yes. And I was like, I can't do this.
It's hectic.
I was like, I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't be
this
guy.
It's really like your ego. You need to like really set that aside and really
totally
tap into.
No, and you just got to be happy to, you know, play the fool in the best way. But I was like, I'm also that person that when I talk to a little kid, I don't put on a baby voice.
Yes,
I sort of speak to them as like a little adult.
Yeah,
you know,
did that
for better
also
or for worse.
Yeah.
And so the moment I had to now talk to these kids, I was like,
hello.
I can't do the baby.
But if you're in that, you know, that outfit, like I've worn so many mascot suits and the amount, I don't know, were you sweating? Because I sweat. Yeah. I think I lose like a whole human when after a show like that.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a schwitzy guy. So so sort of sweaty Pinocchio is not a good look. Speaking to the kids like an adult.
That's your...
Like, no part of that worked out. So I never got a call back the next season.
This it's it's just I have so much respect for people who still do that, and you know, this harde werk.
But here we are with this nice, amazing TV show, and I just have to say, I've started it. I'm like well into it.
Yeah,
I think you're amazing, man.
Yes, thank you. Thanks so much.
Cook, which is on cook. Showmax.
Yeah,
cook.
I love how English people say it. My fiance is also English. I always also go cook.
Yeah.
It's like pup. He also says pup.
Your fiance is Craig Urbani.
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
Most beautiful man in the world.
He's a handsome man.
He's a handsome fucker. And also like every woman makes me understand that. It's but he's so
like,
interesting.
But he's like a silver foxy handsome man.
Ridiculous.
But I was a fan of the Buddy Holly show.
Yeah.
And he was one of the Buddy Hollies. He was one of the original Buddy Hollies.
Yes. We had his CD when I was a kid. Like, we listened to his voice because it was Craig's voice on that CD.
On the CD, the CD that we all bought. We all went to the Buddy Holly show and we all bought the CD.
So we had that. It's crazy how that works out. Now, he's amazing. He's so talented.
Yeah, and then he was recently in We Will Rock You.
Yeah, and he just finished.
And he was the fun trap dad.
Yes.
in Sound of Music.
Sound of Music, yeah.
Were you proud of him? Do you go watch him a lot?
Yeah, I saw it 3 times and then I said, okay, I can't. Now everything's earworming me. I can't it anymore. So I watched it like 3 times is my max.
Yeah.
Then I'm done. Because I'm, you know, even though we're both actors, musical theatre is not my world at all. I don't sing.
I was about
sing.
To say, is that you're not a triple threat?
I'm not, unfortunately. I would have been amazing as a.
Yeah,
but dancing out, but singing I can do. You know, I just pretend I can sing.
Okay. Yeah.
if that makes sense.
Okay, so musicals have never been what you shoot for.
No, I had a really hectic, when I was younger, like in my 20s, I tried to go for We Will Rock You, actually. And I got a call back that day, and I went for the dancing part. And that's the part that fucks me up. I can't do it. Okay. I can dance, okay? I can break it down, but not choreography style, actual dance.
Step and slide. Yeah, vibes. Exactly. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, so no. And then my nose was bleeding that night. I remember the dancers, they taught us the dance for the callback.
Yeah.
And then you had to go two at a time. Oh, my God. And I literally went, they went 5, 6, 7, 8, and I walked out. I just went, fuck this. No, I can't.
Well, how did your nose bleed?
Then I cried so much, my nose bled.
Okay, I was about to say, what happened? I was waiting for, some dramatic story.
It was dramatic for me.
Okay, so you didn't even give it,
Nah, I was out. I was okay, I'm not coming back. No.
Kook.
yes, nice.
It's quite a serious dramatic role. I mean, it gets funny, which is so great. But what I have to applaud the whole show for is that it launches you in within 2 minutes. Five minutes. And I think South African shows, or perhaps an industry that's not like well versed. So let's just say like the American TV system. They are so well versed at their genres or at their TV shows that they can be very good at just getting you sucked in quickly.
Yeah.
Where perhaps a sort of more underworked industry could perhaps take a little bit longer.
Yeah,
sometimes
like spoon feeding for so long.
And perhaps we don't quite know how smart the audience is, or perhaps we still got to kind of feel like we need to establish our characters. Or so sometimes a TV show in South Africa can move a little bit slower.
Yeah,
but this is a great smart show where within 5 minutes we know you're married because you wake up next to the guy. We know you're a mom because we've got the kid shouting and you know the chaos of being a parent.
Yeah.
And then we discover that the husband is cheating on you.
Yeah.
And you act the fucking pants off that moment.
Yeah.
Because your whole world has changed now, where all of a sudden you're like, what?
Yeah. Exactly.
And then of course the rest of the show is you bringing in private detectives or discovering this world.
Yeah. It's all ep one, right? The first, when I read the script, the first episode, I was like, I can't actually believe this is happening. I couldn't wait to read the second episode.
Yeah.
Because it ends so lacquer also. It's oh shit.
Yeah.
This woman is in deep shit. And it starts off with a man whose kidneys removed. Like it's that, it first starts with Jack Barrow.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah,
so you're
like,
what?
Oh yeah, that's right. You get a sense of this sort of weird basement where he has clearly done something. He's cheated on his partner too, and he's now being tied up. And so that's great. It gives you, it foreshadows just how crazy this show is going to get.
Yes, because that's the clever part for me. Sure, this woman and her little life. But what the fuck happened in the beginning?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, it's so clever.
And that's interesting because I almost forgot that happened.
Yeah.
That you see this character, funny enough, played by Jack Parra, who recently was on the show.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's cool to meet him. I didn't even bring that up because I hadn't even seen that part yet.
Oh, yeah.
How did this all come to you?
It literally came to me. I couldn't believe it. I was... I was on a soapie called Binnenlanders for 8 years.
Sure.
And I decided last year that I need to do some other things. I think I just want to see if there's work out there for me, and I really want to. I think now my toolkit is big, and I want to explore that and my badges, see if I can use them. And so I ended my contract, and it's just been incredible. I got a phone call from my agent who just said it's a Christian Olwogen creation.
Wait, yeah, I'd love to just chat about him for a sec because I've never met him, but I've been quite a strong admirer of everything that he's done.
Yeah.
I mean, my entry to him was Canary. Mm. What was the film?
CMU, Johnny's Need Duitney.
Yeah, Johnny Isney Duitney. Yeah. So this is a filmmaker which, for me, can really hold your hand with so much confidence.
Jeez.
And I think that so often in a production, no matter how wild or how crazy or whatever sort of themes you're exploring, what you want from a filmmaker is you want them to sort of reach out, take your hand, and you feel confident that you're happy to go on this ride with them.
Even just reading the script, you already went, I was like, wow.
And so there's a couple of scenes, and especially there's one in Canary, which stars Skalk Poseidonoid, and it's a scene that's structured in such a way that it's this long, planned, orchestrated scene in the barracks of this army barracks. but it shows you that he's thought it through.
Yeah. He's a man of likes a rehearsal. And he likes a...
Everything about it felt very well planned and rehearsed. And then you, once you are aware of that or not, you realize like there's your confidence in watching what this guy does.
Yeah.
Because you know he's thought it through. There's nothing worse than the film where you're like, who's he?
Yeah.
Why is he doing that?
Exactly.
What? And then you realize like the whole movie was like very clear in the director's head, but perhaps they haven't had the practice.
Oh, I've had so many
of
that.
Or the experience to sort of convey that across.
Yeah.
Where you have to constantly think about what the audience member knows.
Yeah, yeah.
And doesn't know. And sometimes they give you too much.
Yeah.
You know, you can watch a film where you're like, I don't understand who this is or why this is, and you realize you're missing stuff. And then sometimes you're like, I get it. Move on. Like, we know
Thank you.
Like,
okay.
We don't have to have the joke and then have you explain it.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
We
or
do
like
that a
plot
lot.
Where the characters go, now we need to go and do this.
Yeah.
Then from here, we must go and do that.
Yeah.
And you're like, we know
I
this. Show me. Don't tell me.
Exactly.
So,
Christian didn't, he was busy working on another film, so he couldn't direct. But he did come in for the first about 2 weeks to just kind of guide.
But it was
guide.
His baby in the sense that he create the story.
Yes, yes. And then he worked with the writers, so co-wrote. And so his influence was definitely in there.
Yeah.
So just to have him on set for the first while was also, because we have to give it to Johannes Pieternel, he was the director.
Yeah.
And DOP.
Yeah.
And that's crazy. Like
that's
to do both is insane. And Johan, I worked with on a previous a comedy series, Magda Lowe, which I just finished about like a month before we started Cook. So it was great that we worked together also and we kind of got the sense of each other. And Johan, Johan let us play. He let us play a lot and we ask a lot of questions. So like we bombard him. And I think it was great that... Christian was there in the beginning, so he could check Christian's style.
Mm.
And we just kind of picked it up from there. From an actor's point of view, the way in which Christian asks questions to make it real for you.
Okay.
It's like he'll take a script, because I was fearful that I might be very soapy style right now.
Mm.
And I didn't know what's the difference anymore between soap or film.
Yeah.
So I was very scared of that, and especially because the role was kind of just given to me. I didn't need to audition.
Mm.
You know that there's a lot at stake.
Yeah.
And Christian used to go, no, just it's too soapy. The dialogue's not flowing.
Okay.
It's like, you speak, I speak. It's not how we do shit. It's not how you and I speak, you know?
We're talking over each other a bit.
Exactly. Overlapping is fine. It should be.
Yeah.
And also we say fuck if we want to say fuck.
Yeah.
That makes it real for you.
Yeah.
So I'm someone who swears, and that's where my comedy lies, is I can't really be funny if I can't say fuck with it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And of course Afrikaans is just such a, it's such a great language to swear in.
It's mooi. Yes, it's perfect for swear. For it.
Yeah.
Swear, he was hectic about making it yours.
Okay.
Making it truthful. How would I say it? And then he'd say, subtext. So
okay, so that's what you mean by he would ask you a question.
Yeah,
which is interesting because you would imagine the normal relationship between actor and director is the actor asking the director questions.
Sure.
Do you want this? Do you want that?
Yeah.
Okay, so you were finding it was more the other way around.
Or more like he would say, remember where you're coming from. So he'd remind you where her state of mind is, all the shit that's happened to her, her past. So he's subtext all the way.
Okay.
And then he talk you into that so much that you're like, it's almost like psyching you up to go, yeah, fuck, that's hectic. Oh my God, I want to cry now because I feel all of that.
Yeah.
And that's great. Is that that's a director who understands a character and who's able to give you answers if you have any questions. And also he'll ask you, where are you coming from? So let's, but not like in a way where you feel interrogated to go, fuck, ak Vietni.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but he just, he understood everything about the character.
Yeah. But one of the badges we can all wear on our scout uniform is life experience. And you know, you can't write these stories, you can't act them, you can't direct them unless you've got a good sense of the world and life and, you know, what it feels like, what it could feel like to have your husband cheat on you.
Exactly.
You know, and see that whole world fall apart. You know? It's like, it's hectic.
I kind of tapped my sister is a bit of a nerd. She's a real tanny, you know. She's like 4 years older than I am and she's a mom. She's got two kids and she lives for her family.
Yeah.
It's beautiful, you know, everyone, your thing is your thing. But she's like proper, her family is her family. And when...
Yeah.
I thought if that ever happened to her, what would she do? Because she can be scary.
Yeah.
Once you fuck with her family,
it's the bully strength.
Yes.
Which is like how you'd pick up the car to, you know, save your kid. Or,
precise. Yeah. That's it. Become like. So I just kept thinking, what would my sister do? And she also has, and then combine it with my sense of humor and a bit of, then you've got a like a combination of Christel.
Lovely man. Yeah. Let's get a little sense of you now. Yeah. Let's go through a little journey. We've got our four great loves, which are the films that you've watched and loved and sort of had an impression on you over your life. And it's a nice way to get a sense of you because we now know where you are. You've done shadow puppetry and you know, acted and been in soaps and you're now on this lovely Showmax show. But let's go back.
Lekker.
Where did we grow up?
Grew up in Pretoria.
Okay.
Until like standard six, then we moved to Durbanville.
Okay. So we've got our first film, which is the Puppy Love film, which is one of the first big films you can remember. Usually a fun, innocent film, usually something someone showed to you. Can you think of what
it's definitely The Little Mermaid for many years. Like that was my film. I was a mermaid. I still in my mind think I am a mermaid. I did mermaid classes the other day where you like go and swim.
Oh, have you seen that show?
There's
on Netflix.
Mer people,
which is all about the industry of people who are professional mermaids.
I know. I have such a fascination for people who do that. I've created a character now that I've won a film, like a short story of this woman who lives as a mermaid. And the ending is so like, I love a twist. But it's because of The Little Mermaid. And I heard that they do the mer people thing. And then I just went for a class of like swimming with a fin.
Episode one is just sort of them complaining about, you know, the chlorine in their eyes.
Oh, that's great.
Because, you know, they have to have their eyes open. You can't have a mermaid do a show through the glass window of the aquarium and her open her eyes.
No. It'll break every little kid's dream, you know. That's amazing.
Okay. No, it was a lovely film.
Yeah, I've got a sad story about The Little Mermaid. Like, The Little Mermaid really connects a lot of things in my life.
Okay, let's hear it.
Because I was so inspired by mermaids and I tried swimming like it, I wrote a character for it, which it will still be done.
Yeah.
And my mom died when I was 19 years old. She fell from stairs in our house. And that night, my dad took her to the hospital. She was brain dead, but we had no idea at that time that was the case.
Okay.
So... as he took her to the hospital, we were waiting, me and my sisters, and we had a video of The Little Mermaid. Because that's the only thing I always took out when we went to the video shop, Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
And we popped that in, and I remember we were watching The Little Mermaid before my dad gave us the fucking bad news.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, at that point, you'd watched it a lot?
Yeah, fuck load.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, no, so it wasn't like the first time.
No. Yeah,
but it's interesting that movie is sort of pinned to that moment. You watched it hundreds of times, but the one that sticks out was the night. How young were you?
I was 19. Yeah, it was a week before my 19th. Yeah, see, I watched The Little Mermaid for years.
Okay, so obviously you were very well aware of what was going on.
Yeah.
But at that moment, when there was kind of nothing you could do,
Yeah.
You were like, I need my comfort blanket.
Exactly.
I need something to kind of distract me mentally for a moment, because if I'm left alone with my thoughts for perhaps a bit too long, this could be a problem.
Yeah, so
let's go to Ariel and
let's go to the safety.
Let's go to the safety.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so Little Mermaid, you growing up in Pretoria, very landlocked, so we couldn't sort of see the sea, but we could still imagine it.
I was happy.
You'd love this. I guess you could call her my future niece. So my fiance's niece had a mermaid party as a sort of 3-4 year old, and she had this lovely tail dress which she was wearing, obviously above ground. And then it came time to swim, and I watched her mom go like, okay, you got to take off the tail now so that you can swim. And I was like,
I mean,
as I saw that, I was like, oh no,
that doesn't make
sense. And then I even turned and I said, you're going to have to convince the Little Mermaid that she can't wear her tail in the pool, because she immediately then just bucketed crying, because she was like, I can't.
That doesn't make sense.
I can't do that. And then so the mom was like, okay, you can give it a try. And so there were older kids that could help her, but she was then in the pool with this tail on, like basically drowning.
It is so just with difficult.
Just with her little head, like just at the water top, just to breathe, because she had to. She had to wear the tail in the water. And then after a little while, she's like, okay, I do get my mom's logic. I can't be an actual mermaid. But it was so funny. I was like, you, I don't think you know what you've just... Yeah.
Just tell the mermaid to take her tail off to go swim.
Yeah.
That's like,
that's not going to work.
Yeah.
Okay. lovely. Very, interesting story when you look back on it now. Like a woman having to make these sacrifices for her man.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. Also, the original story was a lot worse.
Yeah, it was hectic.
She like cut her legs off or something.
So they became part of the... Hans Christian Andersen wrote, Grimm, the Brothers Grimm.
No, I think that the Little Mermaid was Hans Christian Andersen.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah.
But his stories were actually quite hectic if you really, if you didn't Disney-fy it. But they become part of the Sea Bella van die Oceaan, like the bubbles of the ocean.
Yeah.
So she had to kill his wife, the woman he chose.
Yeah.
And then she could be with him. But she couldn't kill him, so she became part of the bubbles van die Ocean.
Oh, God.
So we had a vinyl when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so lovely. The witch was like, hey, come in. You heard all these like bubbles and stuff. Yeah, it was just lovely, all in your ears. Lovely. And this witch was cock scary.
Yeah.
And
because especially if you were listening to the audio only, because then you were imagining this witch in your head, which was far scarier than anyone could have.
Yeah. So then, and in this story, it did not end well.
Yeah.
It was quite.
And I loved also another little fun fact is that the Ursula we know, the Disney Ursula, was very much based on drag queens and like her outfit and her makeup.
But was it really?
I think so.
But
I think
she looks like
it. There's Divine, which was that very famous drag queen.
Yes.
And people have said that took a lot of inspiration. Yeah.
Love Ursula. Always wanted to play her.
Yeah.
Always wanted to.
Lovely. Okay, so now we go over to high school. You're still in Pretoria, hey? When did you say you moved?
Moved to high school when I was... moved to high school. To Durbanville in Standard 7. So just Standard 6. And then that was quite hectic to move to a new school.
Mid-high school?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a bit
also,
tough.
Also, into Cape Town, people were like, we don't like people from... Transvaal at that time. Yeah. You know, you're like, what the fuck did I do?
Yeah. Well, did you find them clicky bitches?
Clicky bitches, also mocking my accent. Like, just dicks.
Cape Town doesn't have a great rap when it comes to that, eh?
Why are they like
okay,
that?
Okay, so you found that. Because my memory of you from the pop art days that we're talking about, I just remember you being very... salt of the earth. I just remember you being just such a happy...
That's like
a person. I remember just thinking like, she's cool. Like, she's fun. And I think maybe barefoot. You know, that's my sort of memory of you. Okay, so Cape Town didn't like you.
No, they didn't like me.
Okay.
No, it took me quite a while. And my family, we struggled. We were really happy.
Why did you need to move?
My dad got a job, okay. different, a good job.
What I did he know. Do?
Afrikaans, I'm going to have to say this.
Yeah, yeah.
I was a takbestuurder by Premier Foods, branch manager.
Okay.
So I don't know. I think he just got a better job. We had no idea.
I love the fact that like out the gate, you couldn't name what it was. But you needed to say it first in Afrikaans.
Exactly.
To then like see it written out and go, okay, I know what that
That's
is.
That's exactly. When me and Craig have a fight, I can't fucking fight in English.
Yeah, yeah.
Because and then I go, let me just say, I need to say it in this and then I need, because he'll sometimes go, what?
Yeah.
I go, shut up. You try and fight in another language.
Yeah, yeah.
It's difficult. Yeah.
No.
Say my number or something, I have to do it in Afrikaans first.
Your instinct is to come out at that first. That's the middle of your onion is very Afrikaans.
Yeah, yeah, core choreo.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So, once there, did you manage to find some people or did you?
Eventually.
What was your defining high school movie? Do you have any thoughts?
I think it was a Pretty Woman.
Cool.
Yeah. Richard Gere. See, and now I have that. Guy Fox.
You were manifesting it back in high school where you're like, I need a silver fox
that.
In my life.
I want that.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah. I loved it. And Lay a Whisper at the end. You know? Oh, it was muy.
That put Roxette on the map.
Proper.
That song catapulted them to another
echelon
as a band. Yeah.
I loved Pretty Woman. It was, I just remembered, it was a feel-good movie. There were some sex scenes in it. Not hectic, though. I think he kissed her there on the piano was the worst, the most sensual one, I suppose.
Do you know that it was originally going to be a very different movie?
How so?
The original, there's a great TV show, I think it's on Netflix, called like How the Movies Are Made or Movies That Made Us. Movies That Made Us.
Yeah.
And they tell the original story of how these films got made. Got made or something.
Yeah.
But Julia Roberts has also spoken about it. The original version was called 3,000.
Yeah.
Because that was the amount of money she was going to be paid for the weekend. And it ended quite dramatically. It ended with them going separate ways. It was far more like she's a prostitute, he's a guy. And then it got shelved and then it got passed around and perhaps different executives of the studios. Because you know this, like a script can be bought.
Yeah.
So then it's out of the writer's hands and then it just sits.
Yeah.
Sometimes they bought and never made. I mean, a lot of scripts are bought and just never
so
made.
So many ideas lying around.
They're just sitting on a shelf. And then eventually it got handed to that director who was like, there's a heartwarming story in here, and it was a whole different movie.
Oi.
Right in the end.
I do like movies with endings that you're like, oh, fuck. No, man.
Mm.
I love twists, and I love it when I actually do not, like, happy endings are, it's boring.
It can be, yeah.
It's just like it, because it's always also a beginning of something, you know. There's a thing of, and they lived happily ever after with, in a marriage, you're like, sure.
Yeah.
The cuck's starting now. That's what's happening.
I can very much agree to that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, like, it's that's not the truth. And that's what we put into kids' minds of like,
the best is a film like This Is 40.
Yeah.
You know, have you seen that comedy? It's like a romantic comedy, but it's Paul Rudd, and it's basically almost like a sort of spin-off of Knocked Up. It's Paul Rudd and I forget the woman's name, but she's actually Judd Apatow's wife in real life. But This Is 40 is basically about this relationship, you know, when they've been married for a handful of years.
Yeah.
They're in their 40s.
Okay.
It's like, how do you keep it spicy? How do you keep it full of respect and love?
Yeah,
and because it takes a lot of work.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm doing a play now, which I conceptualized with my team. We have an incredible writer and director, but we also workshopped it.
Yeah.
But it's based on, it's basically a couple who, when they wake up in the morning, it's years later, married. Mm. They're Siamese twins, so they're stuck to each other's heads. Because, you know, that's the thing about marriage is you speak for the other person and you become, you're not yourself anymore. You lose yourself in this. So it's about them. They just started like glued together.
They became glued together?
Yeah. So,
okay. Yeah. I mean, no, it's fantastical. It's, yeah. But how lovely.
Yeah. So
wait,
we moved.
So after a while, they've now found themselves.
The play starts with them in bed together and they talk. And then as they get up, you see that they're stuck together. So they move as one.
Okay.
It was fucking hard to rehearse that. But
yeah.
So then eventually you see how they met. So they'll split up and we'll see how they met and who they were.
What a lovely, what a lovely visual representation of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And where are you with this play?
We're doing it at, we did it at Art Club last year. And this now we're going to Unibos Festival and Vrystaat Kunstefeest.
Okay.
What's it? Vryfeest, yeah, yeah.
What's the play called?
Ian.
Lovely.
One.
And are you acting in it?
Yeah, me and Zach Hendricks. He's one of my best friend. Yeah.
Okay.
So I mean, it's great that I have someone who I really know so well because we just kind of moved together already as one. But you also, like, what's wonderful is, or very difficult to rehearse, was the fact that we do move together because we have to. Yeah. And I have to know where Zach is going. Otherwise, we split.
Yeah.
As the characters, we have to show that we don't want to. So we have to be like constantly fighting against moving together. So you move together, but you don't. That's fucking mindfuck.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah. But so, yeah, that's what happens, I think, in marriage.
You can. You can have them.
Be careful, I think.
The best combination is that you two together make three, or whatever the kind of expression is. But you've got to make each other better as opposed to
you, me, us.
Sort of fill the hole.
Pretty
Woman. Sorry, just to go back. High school, we're now in Durbanville, starting to make some friends.
Yeah.
Foreshadowing the fact that you're going to fall in love with a Richard Gere looking dude.
Hey, listening to Buddy Holly in the background. Manifesting.
That's lovely. And then you said you studied in Stellenbosch.
Studied drama at Stellenbosch.
Okay. Yeah. Flopsy body stuff.
Exactly.
Movement, voice.
That was my first day. So when you said with the breathing that you did, I remember like I was really cock in school. I didn't care about studying. I was just, and we didn't have drama or anything at that time. I mean, I finished when I was in 99.
Yeah.
So we didn't have phones or any of that. And drama wasn't a subject. Kids are so lucky now. They have so many options.
Yeah.
And then I heard that they're going to get a subject drama when we finished our last day at school. I was like, oh, come on, man.
Yeah.
But okay, so I went to study that. And the teacher or the lecturer said on the first day, okay, everyone, monkeys. We're monkeys. And we were running around doing ho, 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 ho. Mm. And I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, and you got to take, at that point, just like you said, you got to take your ego out.
Yes, be a monkey.
Be a monkey.
But I was very happy because I was like, I don't have to study, sit behind a desk and listen to shit that I'm not interested in. I can run around.
Yeah, there's two things I'd love to bring up at this point.
Yeah.
I read something about what are the most time-consuming degrees you could ever do. With the idea being that the amount of time you've had to put into your degree outside of just the hour of sitting in the lecture, and by virtue of that, does that make it one of the hardest degrees to do because of how much time you've got to put in?
Sure.
And it was a ranking of these degrees. And I think number one was something like architecture, where it just takes so much out of you. And I think perhaps medicine was second or third. Mm. But dramatic arts was in top three.
I believe
It was one of the. It was the second. It was higher than you thought it was going to be, and I remember going, that's true.
Yeah.
We put in hours, and we weren't even counting those hours.
No,
because it just takes so long to rehearse and play and figure out and workshop and
That's why I did, and that's the problem why people can't rate when they say, how much do you ask for? And you're like, well, you know, I had to create this. Mm. I had to start from scratch and then rehearse and then make shit. Or like my labor is, I can't really even put a price to it. Yeah.
Then the other thing I wanted to bring up is, have you heard the chicken story, the Marlon Brando chicken story?
Mm.
You talking about how in the classroom everyone had to be a monkey.
Yeah.
So there's a very famous story of Marlon Brando in an acting class where the teacher said, you're all chickens and it's the end of the world. And so be chickens. And so apparently everyone in the class ran around chaotically, like, because they said the bomb, there's a bomb that's going to go off and it's going to be the end of the world. So everyone became a chaotic chicken except for Marlon Brando, who sort of just sat there like a chicken. And they said, well, why are you doing that? And he's like, I'm a chicken. I've got no concept of the end of the world.
Oh, that's so true. And I'm just sort of, chilling my tits
I'm off. Just chilling. That's what a chicken would do. He's got no idea that the you know, bomb's going to go off.
Think like a chicken.
Yeah, what I just would love a chicken that.
Do? That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Have you seen Will Ferrell's cat audition for, well, it's an owl audition.
No.
And he was like, just Google that. It's so funny. Okay. Where he just like plays with a ball of a yawn.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
Okay.
So animals, yeah, it's great. You know, like that's characterizing for me. Like I've played so many animals.
But what's funny, and you also hear these stories of these acting classes where it's not just a simple switch of like be a chicken,
yeah,
or be a monkey. Sometimes you can do that. I've heard of these acting classes where it's like do that scene, but be a little bit of a dolphin.
And
then now be a little bit more of a dolphin. Till eventually you're like, now do the scene full dolphin. So it's like you, it's hard.
That's a great exercise.
Where
actually.
Not only do you have to leave your ego at the door, as you said, but you've got to be playful and you've also got to understand, you know, the subtlety of just being slightly dolphin.
Pinky dolphin. I love that. I think that's such a great idea.
Yeah.
Finding character, you know, because like that's what I was also scared of for Cook is I hope I can do her play her differently and not the same as anything else I've ever done. Maybe just add a little bit of dolphin.
A little bit of dolphin. Well, Mandla Dubé, who's a great filmmaker who's been on the show, speaks about how his process is, he calls it voodoo cinema, where what you could basically understand it to be is him having each character find a spirit animal.
I love that.
And that you would constantly reference which animal you are. You know, you're an eagle. Would an eagle do that?
Oh, that's cool.
You know, or you're a crocodile, and crocodiles wait, and they're patient, and they're meticulous, and they conserve their energy, but they will fucking jump out of the water and kill you.
That's very
so
I will apply that.
Yeah, it's interesting. Okay, so here we are at Varsity.
Yeah.
We're studying at Stellenbosch. We are being Flopsy Body, being water. Coming into our own, I would imagine, because you now have these classes for a discipline you've sort of always wished for, I'd imagine. So getting to kind of live your dream. What films could have come to you at Varsity?
No doubt, Muriel's Wedding.
Muriel's Wedding. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Have you seen it?
I know of it. I'm pretty sure I would have seen it.
Toni Collette. Yes.
Being very authentically Australian.
Yeah, very much.
And she is Australian.
Up so much weight for this. Like she was big.
It was her breakout role. It was very much a breakout role or breakout film for Australia.
Yes, yes.
Every now and again, there's a film from a sort of smaller film-making nation that gets famous around the world, like My Big Fat Greek Wedding sort of exposes, you know, sort of a Greekness. Or
precise. And it becomes like a heart film, you know, like.
Yeah, so Muriel's Wedding. Yeah. Okay, so how did it come to you?
My mom loved it. Okay. And I think I was like, I remember my mom loved it so much and, you know, I was missing her. So
okay, I was about
like,
to say, because at the start of Varsity was probably when she then passed.
It was the end of my first year. Yeah.
End of first year, yeah.
Yeah. So she just talked about it all the time. So I was like, oh, I want to see this.
Okay.
I
so only after she'd passed did you then seek it out?
Yeah.
And it, in a way, it was there was a connection to your mom.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It still happens now where I'm like, you know, you because memories fade and you only have the same memories over and over because they can't get more.
Yeah.
So I think you make things up in your mind eventually, or you just go to, what was her favorite that, or what did she like there? Or as you get older, you know, you also go, oh, her as a woman and me being that age. You know, you could try and make connections.
My mom has a particular plant because my mom loves gardening. And so there was a particular flower that my gran had. And so in her, house, she's made sure to grow it. And this very particular plant. It's not too common.
Yeah.
I don't know the name of it. But she also then puts it in my sister's garden and put it in my garden. Aww. And it's just like, and she was like, this is like a little bit of a lineage. Through the plant.
Yes.
I wish we could
do that for each other, you know, because we all like.
And so this movie is that.
That's
in a way. Like
precies.
Perhaps, you know, if you do ever have kids, you know, you can show
them. Yeah.
Because some of those films are also very timeless.
Yeah,
I think
so.
A Muriel's Wedding would be nice.
Well,
and
we actually showed it to Craig's daughter the other day.
Oh, there
was
we go.
Like, precies.
There we go. Yeah. Oh, lovely, man.
So I just also, in terms of characterization, right? I am an actor who, I love comedy. But comedy is so difficult to play.
Yes.
It's so hard.
Yeah. It is so hard.
Yeah. And if you try to be funny, you've lost the audience, you know?
Yeah. Well, cut back to why that Will Ferrell yarn thing might have been so funny is because Will Ferrell actually plays comedy serious.
Yeah, precisely.
I've said this before. He's very serious about what he's doing, and that's what's funny.
He's into it. I know with Cook also finding those comedy moments within those ridiculous circumstances and you just saw someone being shot in front of you and the next moment you have to do something that's like stepping dog poo or...
But there was that moment where as you go into the strip club and you then whip out your hand sanitizer.
Yes.
And you were very serious about putting on hand sanitizer.
Yeah.
Like you weren't being funny.
Yeah.
But that
good.
Was funny.
That's I even laughed. And I mean, once you like watch yourself, you're like, okay, girl, really, I'm always about, are you honest?
Yeah.
That's all I look at when I watch myself. Because I know... You know yourself the best.
Yeah.
Was when at the adult shop with the dildos and the anal beads. And this girl was like, oh, 2 for 1. And people told me it was so... Christelle went, what? That's a bargain. Wow.
Yeah, that was funny.
I just thought of my sister in a sex shop.
Like, what would she do? She'd be so uncomfortable.
Yeah. So, comedy is for me, in terms of... Met Toni Collette, I was like, who is this actress?
Okay.
I love ABBA, still do.
Was there an ABBA soundtrack?
ABBA was constant. She got married on I do. And it wasn't like Mamma Mia, the musical, not at all. It was raw. I just love the rawness of it. She plays on a little tape player. The sound was very real. It just felt... icky, you know, it didn't sit like a... I love that.
But I think what's nice about a film like Muriel's Wedding and how those films can be those breakout films is that it's quite inspiring for an industry like South Africa where you go...
Yes.
Correct me if I'm wrong because I'm not that familiar with the movie, but Muriel could have been a South African.
Totally, completely.
You know, obviously it would have been different South Africanisms as opposed to Australianisms, but...
Sure.
If my understanding is correct, it was a small indie film about a woman getting married in the Southern Hemisphere.
Badly wanting to get married.
Wanting to get married in the Southern Hemisphere.
Yes.
So it's like, it could have been a South African film.
Exactly.
Like, we could make these kinds of movies.
It's the possibility of that. Exactly. And also that I said to Craig that why is it that foreign films always have people who look like people? Hollywood is just, no one fucking looks like that with their incredible skins, their beautiful bodies and their huge breasts. Fuck them.
Yeah, especially in that sort of big Hollywood rom-com.
It's just unreal. And now you can watch people who are people, who you can relate to. You can go, wow, that could happen. And that's what, like for me also, I think that's what, or it's definitely what that film meant to me, studying drama and also going... I never thought someone would want to see me on television. I thought I would be doing theater or because I had quite a bad skin. So I was like, no one's going to want to see this face on TV. And I never thinking of myself as like beautiful or whatever. I've always just looked for honesty in a performance. That's what it's about to me. Because the first time I did see myself on screen, I got a Mursa shock. Because we don't see ourselves every day.
Yeah, it's like hearing your voice for the first time as well.
Yeah.
When you're a kid, you're like, oh, God.
Jeez, no one said that.
Yeah.
So then I went, look past that and let's see if you are being honest. And that's what Toni Collette from that day, I've been a Moosha fan of hers.
Yeah, she is amazing. Yeah. Right. Even just like the mom and Little Miss Sunshine. And,
yeah. But she's got this little, she's got this way of closing her eyes acting. Me and Craig always try and mimic her.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
Yeah.
It's the eyes closing vibes when she gets
emotional.
Which
is having the, okay, that's interesting. Like making the choice to do that, to convey an emotion. Yeah. But it sounds like she almost sort of stops time a bit.
Yeah.
Because I think you become very conscious of what your face is doing as an actor.
Yeah.
And you would think that by closing my eyes, I'm now shutting myself off. You can't see me.
Yeah. Sure.
It takes a bit of confidence to actually close your eyes in front of the camera.
I can't do that.
Yeah.
But you should also, as an actor, I think for me, this is all my experience. Like everyone does their own thing. But for me, I need to always have a bit of Cindy with me because I know how I get a fright and I know how I laugh. I can't laugh differently because it'll sound fake.
Yeah, if you're always rooting for some honesty, you have to bring yourself in. Yeah. And I think that's the one of the more ways of approaching acting is to sort of bring yourself in.
Yeah, so I think Toni Collette is like she likes to close her eyes.
Interesting. it's always lovely when you pick up something that like you saw from like, just to say, like a parent, and you start doing that kind of facial expression yourself. I don't know whether you've ever picked that up.
Yeah.
And you as an adult find yourself doing it and you're like, oh, that's what my dad is going through when he pulls that face.
That's good.
And you're like, oh, that's what that means. Because I now have the impulse to do and say that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's more. Yeah, see, I don't have a mother, so.
No. I'm sorry.
I'm joking.
But there's the dad.
With you. Well, I also don't have my real dad passed away when I was. I'm an orphan.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No one can see my face. So I'm just joking.
So sorry, wait, your dad passed away?
When I was like standard two. But I have a stepdad. I've been with him since I was like.
And you guys are still close?
Yeah. He's my dad. Yeah. No, I've got a dad.
There was a great moment. You'd appreciate this. With Temba Robin, when we were having a chat very similar to this, and one of his favorite films was Stuart Little.
Ooh.
And it was revealed, like one of his friends, like when he was an adult, like one of his friends was like, do you think that you like Stuart Little because you were an orphan? And he was like, I'd never thought of that. And that's at that point in the chat where I was like, okay, wait, you're an orphan?
Are we having, you're
And then it had not been revealed. And I was like, oh, this is such a great opportunity to talk through these things.
So true is what movies say,
Yeah.
That was lovely.
Our last film is the film you would settle down with, which is sometimes a tough one.
Yeah. Ak Vietni.
Okay.
So I'm really struggling with that answer right now.
Sure.
I've been thinking about it now. While we were talking, I still had it in the back of my head. What film would I settle with? Meaning like...
Well, it's just the one that you can always come back to, the one that, you know, the... If you just had to watch one film or, you know, it's like, it's one of those, like, what do you think is the greatest? I mean, it could be something like Little Mermaid, for example.
Well, I would say that would always be my go-to. Do you remember Spaceballs?
Yeah.
Yes, we watched Spaceballs, That was a comfort video for us.
Yeah, the Bioscope has now started screening it every year on Star Wars Day.
Really?
You know, which is the 4th of May.
I prefer.
Because there's so much Star Wars stuff that's now on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
You know, at one point for many years, we screened this particular somewhat hard to find documentary, but that's now on Disney. So then we thought, no, we've got to find something else for Star Wars Day. So we did Spaceballs, which is the, you know, silly parody movie of Star Wars.
Yeah. But okay, so I watched Patch Adams the other day.
Okay.
I just love Robin Williams. To me, film is great with like a smile and a tear at the same time.
When you get both.
Yeah. And that's definitely, that's the kind of acting I want to do also. It's like that.
Yeah, that lovely combination
life,
of the two.
Balance, you know.
No, because sometimes you watch these films that try to be so dramatic and they become this drag through the mud and you're like, that's not what life is. There are these moments of... you know, where life can still be lighter, and sometimes the funny is so welcomed and so enjoyed because everything else is quite dramatic.
Yeah,
there was a movie called Manchester by the Sea.
Oh, I think I've seen it.
it was quite a dramatic film, and I could see all by the trailer that this is now very dramatic. But everyone was saying it's incredible. And what actually finally got me watching it was someone saying, "Oh no, it's not as dramatic as you think. Like there's moments are funny." And I was like, okay. Now I can watch it.
Yeah, yeah.
And of course, it's fucking heart-wrenching. Yeah. Casey Affleck, Michelle Williams.
Oh, Craig loves it. Yes, I haven't seen it.
Okay, yeah. Let's rent that to you today.
Like it.
Because that's what I try and do here at the video store, is try get you to rent a particular movie. So let's rent you Manchester by the Sea.
Done.
And it was a real Oscar film in its time. However many years ago, they were all nominated. I don't even know who won.
Craig loves that movie. He'll actually be like, "What the fuck, Cindy? I told you about this 100 times."
Yeah. But I think
isn't it Ben Affleck's brother?
Casey.
Yeah.
No, it's quite a movie. Okay, but that'll be the movie I'm going to rent you from the video store today.
Yay.
But I think that perhaps at this point, you still have the original Little Mermaid in your heart.
Still my heart, yeah.
That to me feels like it could be your final
my
film.
My comfort movie. Yeah. I also had the tape, the
VHS.
The VHS, but also the tape to play the soundtrack.
The songs, yeah.
When I did well in my report card in Standard 4, my mom bought the tape for me.
Okay.
So I knew. Even the scoring, I love scoring in movies. Yeah, I really love. Also, Cook's scoring, I don't know if you know, Loki Rothman.
Okay.
It's incredible. It's like White Lotus-y kind of feel. Mm. Or I don't know if but he's really good. Yes.
Okay. Now I must keep watching with that in mind. Yeah.
Keep watching. Yeah. I'm very attentive on scoring. I always like, ooh, why are you making me feel that? Don't make me feel away.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll feel it myself. Okay.
Yeah.
Trying to get all sad and cock. It's don't force me.
Okay.
I listen to a soundtrack but Little Mermaid soundtrack I knew off by heart, the orchestral parts there.
I think that's the one.
Yep, that's the one.
Okay. Lovely. How does Cook wrap itself up? Is there going to be a second season? Do we know?
Well, I mean, there's 10 eps, so the fourth ep is only out now on Showmax.
Okay.
So there's still six to go. Yeah.
Okay. And then is it going to just be encased in the...
And then it'll be there. Yeah. And then you can basically binge watch it, which is, I think, what a lot of people are doing. They say they're waiting for it to be there completely. Then they'll watch
I like it being a bit spaced out.
Me too.
Okay. So it's how many... is it going to be in total?
10 episodes.
10 episodes in total. Yeah. And is it then done at that point?
Done, but there's a... there's potential for a next season, definitely.
We'll
me and Christian, we're talking about what could happen if if
it's a hard game to be in, because you've got to both plan
and end
at the same time, because you don't quite know
fantastic ending, by the way, Moorshit twist. Like you go, you think it's this, and you're like, oh my god, it's so fantastic. It's just well written. It's what a great just. Team all over to be part of, really.
Lovely, man.
Yeah.
So happy for you.
Thank you.
Okay, and then currently the latest thing is this play, the Siamese
play. The play we're rehearsing, and then I'm doing my own projects. It's so lucky for Otika Fear, we just did all their idioms. The launch is coming soon, and they were so happy, so they gave us the next Veldtocht to work on. So it's me building basically with the puppetry vibes, cartoon world with my hands, making it. You know, like I did a puppetry course, a puppet therapy course last year. It's like a course from Spain. So interesting, like
puppet
just building
therapy.
Things. Yeah,
for kids ultimately.
No, adults also. I learned so much about myself with this, because we had to make self-portrait puppets from anything that's around your house. So the things I've learned from making it and understanding why I used certain materials and the way I manipulated it—it's so fucking interesting. Mm. And then we had to make a workshop on what kind of workshop would you create with materials, and I kind of went to. Actors or actresses my age who were under the pressure of looking a certain way and insecurities, rejection, there's a lot of that and how to just self-love at the end of the day. Why is that so fucking difficult? Jeez. You know, like, and just going into, and that's what I discovered through this course, which is amazing. I'd love to just do something about that one day.
Oh, lovely.
And I also have a series coming up, which I'm not allowed to say anything about right now because I just heard that I got the part. So that'll come later. But
lekker, man. Yeah. But it's nice knowing that you've got something in the gun, you know? Yeah,
but like, even if that wasn't, I just enjoy playing. Eh? That's what I want to do for a living is play. Who the fuck told us we can't make money and play?
Yeah.
You know, I just refuse to accept that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lovely, man.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We'll keep playing and we'll see you soon.
Thank you. This was fun. Thanks.
Cheers.
Bye.
All right. Lekker chat. Lekker person.
She's lovely.
Happy.
Yeah. We need more of that.
Yeah, we do. We do. We do. What's giving you life these days, Gaddy?
So the most exciting thing is X-Men 97 on Disney Plus.
Ooh, okay.
See, from like 92 to 97, there was that X-Men cartoon series that was on Mnet.
I remember that. I remember often having to go and sort of do stuff on Saturday morning. So I wasn't too much a like watch comics and cartoons all day. But I do remember that show. I don't think I ever really watched it.
So, you know, I thought I really watched it. And then to catch up on this, there was like a TLDR on like a summary of every episode. And I'm like, I don't remember a single thing.
Yeah.
Like I remember watching it, but it was quite complicated, especially for a kid's show.
Okay, so the original X-Men was in the 90s, and what have they done now?
So it ended on a cliffhanger. They never really wrapped up the show. So they've just kind of taken off exactly where the show left in 1997 and just made new episodes now.
But they've done it in the style of it being made in the 90s.
Yeah, and obviously it feels like it's kind of fixed and done properly on a computer, but it's made to look like it was just like not really just taken as it was, and they finished it up, and it looks amazing. A lot of the same voice actors.
Okay, because you were a person who read comics. I've been to your house. You've got piles and piles of comics.
So X-Men wasn't necessarily what I was more into, like Superman and DC, but my cousin was a big X-Men fan. So I remember reading a lot of those series in the comic form, and then they made it into the TV show.
Okay.
And so, yeah, it's so special. The characters are exactly as how I remembered them. Okay. And yeah.
Okay, this is on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
But actually my question to you was more like, what's giving you life? What are you enjoying at the moment? You've just celebrated your birthday.
As we mentioned before, I've got engaged. So it's my first birthday with my fiance, who we almost share a birthday with.
Oh, when is Jess's birthday?
So hers was yesterday.
Oh.
Mine was Sunday, hers was yesterday. And then we threw a little party for the pugs.
Yes.
And
okay, so Gad, for those who don't know, Gad has a delightful pug in his life, which I helped name, called Shaniqua, fat little pug, and so yeah, you put on a show about a week ago now at in Smoking Kills
in Melville, yeah.
Okay, so. And the money went to Pug Rescue.
Yeah,
and I think it's important to mention, for all of those who are like, what? You know, most dog breeds have themselves a rescue or some kind of focus on them specifically as a breed. And I think pug is one that you think, why would there be a pug rescue? And
why would people get rid of a pug? I mean,
the problem is crazy. A lot of people do, right?
Yeah.
So that's why pug rescue is what it is, and it needs a lot of support, because people buy these dogs. And then they realize they perhaps don't want them because they...
There are a lot of work in some way. I mean, they're absolutely adorable, but yeah, they make a noise and...
They shed everywhere. I remember once she was on my lap in the car and I was like, oh God, I could never have this.
Yeah, no, they're special dogs, but I think like the same thing like Dalmatians. Every time one of those Dalmatian movies come out, hundreds of these dogs get adopted, and people, like, as they grow up, they're like, oh, these are huge dogs and they take up a lot of space and physically and mentally.
Yeah. Okay. And so, yeah, you were able to raise some money, which is great, man. Well done.
Thank you.
No, it's cool. It's an important part of our our lives, the dogs and the dog charities. As Short Straw, we've also put up our hand to start an animal foundation. We just found ourselves often being asked to play shows and do charity shows, and often it was a strange thing. Do you remember that? We would sort of go like, wait, what? Who's this for? What's this for?
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of the times you donate money to charity and that just goes to paying people's...
And so we made a call as a band to do our own charity work, and then we realized humans are the worst. We've always used dog iconography in the band of Short Straw, and so it made sense that you know, we focus on the dogs.
100%.
And so we've taken great joy in doing stuff under the name the Bowsy Foundation and giving that money to dog charities. And it's heartbreaking when you visit them and they tell you stories. I mean, remember that one, I think it was the lab rescue, where the woman was like, it's not a strange thing to get a call from like a real estate agent because a family has left a house, like a normal house, and the estate agent has found that the dog is still there.
No, you hear this all the time. Dogs, cats left behind.
Like they've immigrated or they've gone or they've moved.
Just made no effort.
And they've given a whole bunch of food left, hopefully. And then the estate agent's got to like find a place for this dog.
No, it's just awful.
Jesus Christ. But anyways, okay, what else are we enjoying? Okay, so it's called X-Men 97.
X-Men 97, yeah.
Best enjoyed on a Saturday morning with a bowl of cereal, yeah. Even if you are almost 40.
So all the original episodes are on Disney Plus, so you can catch up.
Oh, cool. And then this carries
just
on.
Like nothing ever happened.
Oh, cool. Okay, yeah. What else?
So there's another show on Netflix called Bodies, which I've been meaning to watch for a long time.
Bodies.
Because I really, like, one of my favorite things ever is Dark, that German show on Netflix.
Yeah, you've spoken a lot
so
about
I often, like, go on these Facebook pages and they're like, what do you recommend? If I'm like, I've watched Dark, I need something else. And everyone's like, Bodies. And it's a British show.
Oh, but is the show called Bodies or is it called Bodies?
So there's a movie called Bodies. It's got nothing to do with the...
Oh, okay, because I've seen that.
Which I had seen quite... That was quite fun.
Oh,
I like that.
Cool. Okay. This is just called Bodies.
Just Bodies. Okay. Yeah, so I think it's 8 or 10 episodes and it's kind of like a time travel murder mystery.
Okay.
So it's set in 4 different time periods and each of the... Well, 3... in each of the detectives are solving a murder that is the same murder. This body appears in like a courtyard.
Okay.
And it's the same courtyard, but just in different time periods.
Okay.
And then the cops have to solve it and figure out.
Okay.
But they don't know about the other ones. They start to figure it out and it's...
Like vastly different times? Are we talking like...
Yeah, so like 1918, 1930, modern times, and then like 40 years in the future.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a serious show?
Yeah, very serious.
Okay.
Yeah, it's one of those you have to like really can't be on your phone while
it's not a second screen show.
It's not a second screen show.
I was about to say, that term is being coined, which is bizarre. Have you heard that term?
Yeah.
The second screen.
Yeah.
It's not when someone was making a TV show, they said that one of the streamers critiqued and said it's not second screen enough. And they were like, what does that mean?
Yeah. No, and like I found at one point, like I picked up my phone to read a message. I'm like, whoa, I just missed so much. And then you have to rewind. And and like because it's like everyone dresses differently from the 1890s, you're like, hold on, is that the same character from like 2016?
Is it the same people? Like it's a multiverse?
Well, like I don't want to spoil too much. But like people are going back in time and like they relate. Like Doc, there's a lot of like incestuousness.
It's giving me some 12 Monkey vibes.
Very much so, yeah. It's in that same vein.
Yeah, 12 Monkeys was that very cool movie in the 90s with Bruce Willis where he like sees himself be killed.
Yeah.
Which is based on a very cool black and white film.
La Jetée.
Yeah, spot the two kids that went to film school.
Yeah.
Just talking about these terms, these interesting terms. I'm going to take a little sidetrack for a moment. We are busy looking at honeymoon options. And there was one place in the Maldives which says in what it offers something called a social media butler.
Is this a guy who's going to take photos for you?
A dedicated person in the staff who will like take photos of you.
I mean, that seems necessary.
What a weird world we live in where there's like second screen, you know, like content being referred to as, you know, second screen.
Or well, you can,
having
you,
a social
media
butler.
You can focus
on
just the choreography for your TikTok dances. You don't have to worry about where you want to.
So obviously this guy would know like the best spots and how to best angle it. But he'll be the dude that'll take the photos and film the reels and...
That's crazy.
Hey, what a weird time to be alive.
I mean, often you see people with these travel videos or just like these social media girls and you're like, who's filming this stuff?
Mostly the boyfriend.
Yeah, yeah.
They work very hard.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you're enjoying? You took young Corbin to watch Kung Fu Panda.
Kung Fu Panda 4.
Kung Fu Panda 4.
Yeah.
I wasn't able to join you guys. It was at a special screening at the offices of UIP, which is the distributor. I just had a little bit too much work to do, so I missed it. But you got a chance to see it before everyone else. It now is in cinemas.
Yeah. It was super charming. I mean, I love those original movies. Jack Black is...
I watched the first one, and then I jumped off the train. I'm
pretty sure I've seen the other two.
Okay.
I mean, this... fourth one did not make sense. So
okay, you could probably watch it on its own. You don't really need to have seen the others. It'll just enrich the backstory.
I mean, I think you should see at least the first one to get an
idea.
Sure. But yeah, the voice acting is so spot on, and Corbin was loving it.
I love the fact that once Jack Black was being called out, but there was a conversation with him about he was recently in China. You know, this is to promote one of the Kung Fu Panda films, and he just pointed out the absurdity of the fact that he had to travel to China to promote
something
Kung
that
Fu
he's
Panda
not in.
Because it's like he's not acting, and at that point they've dubbed his voice, so it's a different voice actor. So it's like,
yeah, I'd never really thought about it, but the first time where we were in tour in Europe, I saw a poster for it was a Pixar or DreamWorks movie, and I recognized the artwork, and then there were like 20 names of actors, and I'm like, oh. Wait, this is very different here.
So technically he's not in that version.
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess he inspired the actor. I mean, inspired the character.
Yeah.
But you know, so I totally get the machine. But I just think it's just funny that a guy like Jack Black will travel around the world to promote a version of a movie he's not even in.
Yeah. And then totally owning the cover of Baby One More Time.
Yeah, I saw that on the internet. What was that all about?
I don't know. It doesn't have anything to do with the movie.
But where did he do it?
Just write it like the end credits as they roll. So like the movie ends and then it's like, hit me, baby, one more time.
Oh, it's in the movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, just not even really. They just like slapped it on at the end. But then they've been using that to promote the movie.
Jack Black singing Britney Spears.
Yeah.
Okay, weird.
Yeah.
Lovely, man. Is there anything else?
So yeah, I finished Sweet Home, that season 2.
You were talking about Sweet Home. What, that is on?
Netflix.
Yeah. And that is the Korean
horror.
Well,
it started as a zombie kind of thing, but then it evolved to monsters, and now the monsters have evolved to even more complicated monsters.
Oh, God.
And yeah, like I was chatting to you earlier. Like,
is it a dark hole? Is it?
I don't know.
Is it a bit depraved, or is it?
No, it's super fun, and it's light, and... I had to watch many YouTube videos to explain what was going on, because like the characters come back at the end of season 2 and it's like, oh, hold on. I don't think I've seen him since season 1, maybe.
Okay. And they're like, was it a bit complicated?
Yeah. And I think season 3 is going to be even more complicated because at the end, they're already like, season 3 will be back in summer 2024. So it's definitely coming.
Sweet Home. Strange name.
Yeah.
Does it make sense if you've watched it?
The name.
Yeah.
Well, the first season takes place in an apartment building.
Okay.
So I guess everyone kind of bands together and it's their home, which they're protecting.
Okay.
And then by season 2, they've like kind of moved to a different home, but the group is trying to stay together. So
okay.
It's more of a metaphor.
Okay. Speaking of cool Asian content, just to once again reiterate the fact that The Boy and the Heron, the Academy Award winning animated film from Studio Ghibli, which everybody knows and loves, is coming to the bioscope. It's confirmed and it's happening, and tickets are on sale, and some screenings are even almost close to being sold out, which is very exciting.
Awesome.
So if you listen to the video store somewhat religiously, then you could very easily be someone who is excited about the boy and the heron. I'm just going to take a stab at the fact that you are likely to be excited about that. And so, especially if you are in Joburg, this is a nice chance to just let you know, especially before more screenings sell out. It's a chance to get your tickets. So that's at thebioscope.co.za. Look for the poster in the coming attractions.
When's it coming?
It is like mid-April.
Mid-April.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It's like he never misses. So.
No, this looks amazing. And it looks, and of course, it's not like it's coming and it hasn't won anything. It's like it's won him Golden Globes. It's won him the Oscar this year. So it's like it's not shit. We know it's not shit.
Okay. Oh, that should be a goodie.
But yeah, thanks guys, and thanks for the lovely day, Gaddy. Oh. Appreciate you.
Oh, thank you,
Rusty.
It's
always nice to catch up. I think you're in an exciting time in your life.
Absolutely.
You're becoming a real grown-up.
Yeah.
It's very exciting. Cool, and thank you for listening thus far. We are thevideostore.co.za. For those who don't know, give us a subscribe if this is your first listen, and we hope to see you again next week. We've got some really great guests on the way. It's all very exciting. And we hope we can just be here to help you figure out what to watch. At the end of the day, that's what we're doing.
Yeah, we try.
We try. All right. Thanks for listening. See you next week. Cheers, Gaddy.
Bye.